Hello, pastors and church leaders. What do people think about when they think about your church? What are some of the things that identify your church from other churches? That's what we're talking about today here on the John Markham Leadership Podcast. We're talking about healthy church cultures, and there are four things that I want to talk about today that are related to that subject. My name is John Markham. I'm the lead pastor of Life City Church in Santa Clara, California, and you're on the John Markham Leadership Podcast. This is our second episode on this podcast, and I'm looking forward to sharing many, many more with you in the coming weeks and months. And along those lines, I am expecting some special guests to appear in more of an interview style on the podcast here in the next couple weeks. And I'm looking forward to sharing those with you, talking about church planting and a few other important things related to church leadership and starting churches, which is my passion. And today, regardless of whether you are planting a church, interested in starting a church or taking over a church as a pastor or becoming a new lead pastor, or you are the pastor of an existing church, all of us deal with church culture, creating a healthy church culture. And so I want to talk about that today. And there are four things in this that I want to address and talk about in the next 20, 25 minutes or so that we're going to be here on this podcast today. And so I'd like to address those. First of all, starting with what we tend to think of as the brand of a church. What is the brand of a church? I know a lot of people in my circle of influence, other pastors and church leaders, have tended to have a negative opinion of even using that kind of terminology because it screams of businesses and the church isn't a business, the church isn't a company, the church is, you know, the work of Jesus, and I'm completely in agreement on that. But for lack of a better word, your church has a brand. Every church does. In fact, if your church has a name, it has a brand. A brand is simply this. A brand is whatever people think about when they think about your church. A brand is whatever anybody thinks about when they think about your church. And if you're a businessman or a businesswoman, this also applies to your business. A brand is whatever a person thinks about when they think about your company, your restaurant, your business, your law firm, your whatever. A brand is what people think about when they think about you. So what is your brand, and how do you influence that? And here's the reality. Because a brand is what people think about when they think about you, you don't get to decide 100% directly what your brand is. You can only influence your brand. You cannot dictate it. Now, the things you do and the choices you make can certainly have an impact on that, and those are the things we're going to talk about today. But you ultimately are going to leave that final decision to the people who encounter you, who encounter your church, who encounter your company, to decide for themselves what they think about when they think of you. So what are the things you can do to control your brand, the things that people think about when they think about you? A lot of times when we think about brand, we think of a logo, we think of a website or printed material, but brand is so much more than that. We're going to talk about that in a few of the other areas involving church culture today. But let me talk for a minute about the name of a church. Whatever your name of your church is, if you're the pastor of an existing church or if you're planting a church and you've already got a name in mind, whatever you name that, you're naming for a reason. You're trying to communicate something to people who don't already belong to your church. Or in some cases, perhaps, you're trying to communicate something to people who already are a part of your church, I suppose. So, funny story, I was a pastor, an associate pastor of a great church in Rock Island, Illinois for 5 years, Edgewood Baptist Church, and there was another church down at the bottom of the hill from where our church was located, and I assume it was a church. I guess somebody could have just put a sign out there, but there was a sign in front of a building, and so I assume it was what it said it was, and it was the Dedicated Few Church. I'm not making this up, the Dedicated Few Church. And I don't know what to make of that other than to say, wow, like that's like trying to tell everybody else basically, you know, you're not one of us and we're the real dedicated ones. At least that's what it said to me. Now, if that's what they intended to say or not, I have no idea, but it kind of screamed, guests are not welcomed here. And along those lines, as we were planting Life City Church, we had to come to a place where we named this thing. And so about a year before we actually, you know, we've been living here for 3.5 years, and about a year before we actually moved out here, I took a trip with myself and 5 other guys that I was really close with and that I trusted, and several of those men are now a part of Life City Church as well. But none of us lived here at that point in time. And so as we were coming out here, we were thinking about this, and at one point we'd kicked around over 200 names that we'd considered to be the name for this new church that we were trying to start, that we felt like God had called us to plant. And eventually, somewhere in the process of all that, we narrowed that list down to five names that we felt kind of communicated our heart, that we thought indicated to people our intentions of why we were starting this church. And the name of those five churches were this. I'm just going to give them to you, and then I'm going to tell you how we ended up coming to the name Life City Church. So obviously, Life City was one of the names, Life City Church. Another one was Freedom Church. We thought it said, you know, like free from sin, free in Christ, a lot of things that were really important to us. Catalyst Church, we said from the beginning that we wanted to be a church, not just a church that started here in the Bay Area, but a church that started other churches around the Bay Area. So we wanted to be a catalyst. We wanted to start other works. We wanted to be the beginning of something new that God was doing here in the Bay Area. So that was really important to us. Awakening Church was a name we really considered. A previous ministry of mine, we started a Saturday night service that was passionate about reaching young adults and young families and college students, and we called it The Awakening. And so that really had a lot of, you know, significant meaning to us, and we thought of it like a spiritual awakening, and so we thought this is a great name for a church. Let's try that one out. And then the last one, and I don't remember who or when we came up with this, but it was New Day Church. I just thought that was like awesome. You know, it kind of screamed 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. It just, you know, talks about Psalms about his mercies are new every morning, new day. It just really kind of had a lot of resonance with the things that were important to us. And so we tried these five names out, and here's how we went about deciding the name Life City, how we ended up on that name. The six of us, we came out here and we printed off all five names on one note card. And we split them into teams, and we all took a note card with us, and we just began meeting people and having conversations with them, and we asked them if we can have their opinion. And so we asked them, first of all, what church, do you actively participate in attending a church somewhere? Do you regularly attend a church anywhere? Any kind of church, whatever, just do you regularly, like most weeks, you know, almost every week, go to some church somewhere? And what we found out is that over 80% of the people we talked to said, no, I don't. Or maybe I go every once in a while, or I've been before, or I would never go. But over 80% said no to that question. And about almost 20% said that they do regularly attend somewhere. And so we found that really interesting. And we used that to kind of help shape the information we were going to receive from them. So regardless of what they said to that question, we continued the interview. We continued asking for their opinion. And that was when we would actually hand them this card. And what we would say is this. We would say, based off of these names, if a friend of yours were to invite you to go to church with them, which of these five churches would you be most interested in going to and checking out? And then they would pick one, and if they had a few minutes, we'd say, okay, why that one? And then they'd give us a reason. And then we'd say, okay, which one would you be the least interested in checking out? And then they'd point to another one and say, well, probably this one. And then we'd ask them, okay, why that one? And we collected all this data because we knew that we weren't going to just name this church off of whatever was most popular. We wanted to name it off of something that resonated with people the way that we wanted it to connect with them. Because again, we're not just creating a name, we're creating a brand. And a brand is a part of a church's culture. And so this was really important to us that we do this process correctly. And in the process of doing that, we got a lot of interesting feedback. And Life City Church was not the most popular one. The most popular one was Catalyst Church. The problem was that Catalyst Church wasn't popular for the reasons we wanted it to be popular. It wasn't popular because people thought of a move of God and a new beginning and a new start and something's going to change for the better for our community, for our city, for our area. They thought, in fact, actually what was interesting is that the people who tended to like that happened to be Hispanic, and a high percentage of those Hispanics happened to come from a Catholic background. And because of their Catholic background, they heard Catalyst Church, and it made them think of Catholic Church. Well, we don't necessarily are here to, you know, pick on Catholics, but that's not the kind of church we are. And so it wasn't, you know, conducive to what we wanted people to think of when they thought of us. And in addition to that, a lot of people who didn't like that name didn't like it because it was confusing. They didn't know what it meant. And so it wasn't connecting with people the way that we wanted it to connect with people. So because of that, we continued to find more data, and we found out that two of the names we really liked, people hated. And those two were New Day Church and Awakening Church. And they hated it, especially the people who didn't belong to a church family, because they didn't think of new beginnings, and they didn't think of coming alive in Christ and the things that we wanted them to think about. They thought of cult. To them, Catalyst, but Awakening Church and New Day Church screamed cult to them. Well, that's not what we want people to think about when they think about our church. And so then there was Freedom Church. And people loved Freedom Church, but they didn't love it for the reasons that we loved it. They loved it because to them it sounded like, we're never going to talk about tough issues, we're never going to deal with personal subjects, you're fine, I'm fine, we're all fine, let's all just be okay, and kind of a Unitarian almost kind of a approach to church. And we very much believe that people are not okay. That's the whole point of the gospel, that we're broken and separated from God apart from Christ, and that Jesus makes us whole again in this family that he calls the church, and that all of us are welcomed to be a part of that family. And so that wasn't being, welcomed, being liked for the reasons that we wanted to be. And then there was Life City Church. And what was interesting about Life City Church is that without exception, 100% of the people who liked that name were not actively attending a church anywhere. And 100% of the people who did not like that name said that they were regularly attending a church somewhere. And while we valued the people's opinion of the people who were already going to church, our assumption was, you already belong to church, and you already attend somewhere. You already have a church home. And for the people who don't regularly attend, you need a place where you can come and connect and grow in your spiritual life and find out that you matter to God and you matter to us, the church, as well. And so their opinion held more weight for us. So when it came to branding, that really sung out to us that we wanted to be a church for people who didn't have a church. We wanted to be a church for people who didn't yet know Christ. We wanted to be a people that reached and loved and cared about a community, 94% of whom did not have a church home or did not identify with Jesus Christ. And so that's how we ended up naming the church, and that's some of the things that we did in the process of branding that name. And in the process of that, I'd do some graphic design, but I knew I didn't want to be the one to design my own logo for our new church, because I knew I'd never be happy with it. And so I ended up connecting with a guy who's now a great friend, and I really appreciate his ministry, Michael Buckingham, who is a phenomenal artist, but also a phenomenal man of God. He's on staff at a great church in Georgia as a creative arts pastor, and he really took the time to get to know us, to get to know our heart, to get to know our vision for planting this church, and to get to see this area through our eyes. And in the process of that, he came out with several concepts, including the one that we eventually made our brand, our logo, and that was this logo that looks like a picture frame, and it's an L shape of green and an L shape of blue that come together to make this frame, and then the name Life City kind of matched that green and blue kind of a scheme. And for him to describe it, he says, I wanted to make a picture frame because you kept using the language of story and talking about telling people's story in Christ and finding life in Christ. And frames hold our pictures, and pictures tell our stories. And so that's kind of where I came up to this. It's kind of like life and city coming together. And we just loved the concept, and it just really resonated with what our heart was for our community and the story of this church that we felt like God was trying to tell through us. And so we latched onto it, and we created this brand around this logo. And now, when we do baptisms, we actually have a frame, a wooden frame that's blue and green like our logo, that people hold up after they get baptized and get their picture in. And that becomes a part of how we tell their story of coming to Christ. And so first part of a church culture is brand, and probably that's the biggest part of it. These next three, I'm not going to spend quite as much time on each, but they're still very, very important all the same. So number one in creating a healthy church culture is understanding a brand. It's more than just a name. It's what people think about when they think of you. Number two is values. What are the values of your church? And here's the interesting thing. Almost every church I know, somewhere in their bylaws or on their website or some printed information, has a list of things that they say that they value. And what's interesting is that those things do not necessarily line up with the things that they do. And what's neat about planting a church and starting from scratch is that there's some things that become a part of your values that you know you want to value from the beginning because of how you're wired or how your leadership is. But there's also some things that you have to kind of wait and discover as God brings people and connects them to this unique body, this organic thing called this local church. And so several of our values we shaped from the beginning because we knew they were important to us and we wanted to be true of this community of faith that we were starting. But there were a few things that we waited and added on afterward because we realized, whether we say it or not, this is one of the things that we value as a church. And let me just give you an example. Food. Food is one of our values as a church. We repeat this oftentimes. Anybody who's been coming to Life City Church for more than like a month can tell you we value food. And they'll even tell you this. There are 32 references in the Gospels of Jesus eating with people. And we say that that's on purpose. We think that God loves it when we eat together, when we come together and break bread and have a meal, that there's something spiritual that happens when we eat together. So every one of our functions, from our small groups to our Sunday mornings, any kind of a class or a workshop that we teach, there is something to eat there, because we really believe there's something spiritual that takes place when we eat food. In fact, this was so much a part of our commitment and our values that every year around Thanksgiving, we provide Thanksgiving baskets full of all the ingredients that a family needs to cook a meal. So that family can have, whether they're impoverished or not, they can have a meal with their family that is home-cooked and made by them. And we provide all the resources for them to be able to do that, because we believe in this so much that we want other families to do this together. We think that one of the greatest things we can offer our community is a healthy picture of what a family is supposed to look like. And we think that meals are an important part of that, that a family needs to eat together. They need to enjoy a meal together, not just in front of the TV. So with our Thanksgiving things, we really want to equip families to sit down together and have a meal. And so we provided 100 baskets to 100 families this past Thanksgiving. That's part of our values, and we just acknowledged that and said life happens around meals. Relationships happen around meals, and so we wanted to express that through our values. Another one that became a value as we grew, and this came early on when we were just getting started out here and just beginning to build relationships. We realized as we had begun to meet people and build relationships from relationships that the people that didn't know Christ, didn't go to church. We're kind of, you know, trying to process the whole thing of you came out here to start a church. Like, okay, what do you expect from me in that? And just trying to figure out what that dynamic meant for them. We found out that the more we loved on people and got involved in their lives and they reciprocated and related with us and did life with us, the more we just realized that this is messy, messy work. I mean, church people are messy too. Don't get me wrong. Church people are really messy, actually. But it's a different kind of messy, and you get used to the mess that you live in, right? But then you begin to get involved in other people and other families and other dynamics, and you begin to love them and try to love them like Christ loved the church and what he's called us to do toward our community. And just like it says that Jesus saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion for them, we're trying to do that in an up-close and personal way with people that we're praying God gives us an opportunity to share our faith with. And one of the ways we just started saying it is, this is messy. This is messy. But then we began to encourage each other with this, and we began to just say, you know what? We embrace the mess, just like Jesus did. Jesus didn't minister to people from a far-off place. He got up close and personal with them. He touched them. He healed them. He lived with them. He ate with them. We talked about that in one of our other values. And so if we're going to love people like Jesus loves people, we've got to get our hands dirty like Jesus did. So values, what do you value? What are the things, whether they're written or spoken or not, what are the things that your church values? And are there things that you want to value? Maybe your church values an us for no more kind of mentality, and you're happy with your holy huddle and making a bubble and protecting yourselves from the world, but you're not actively engaged in reaching out. You'll go out there and like kind of yell the gospel maybe, but you're not inviting people to participate in your church and to grow in faith and come and see Jesus for themselves. And you've got kind of a standoffish separation kind of a approach to them. I'm not saying you do, but maybe that's something you need to consider. Maybe that's something you need to pray about and say, is this something we want to value as a church? Maybe there's some other things that you've begun to value. Maybe dress code, the way you dress your church. We don't dress up at our church. We dress down. I wear jeans almost every Sunday. And we do that on purpose, because what we're trying to communicate through our unspoken values is that you can come as you are, that you don't have to have it all figured out, that you don't have to have a suit and tie or a fancy dress or a cool hat. You can come as you are, that Jesus loves you where you're at. He wants to redeem you, and he wants to love you. And God cares more about what's going on the inside of you anyway than what's going on the outside. And so nobody in the history of us having a come-as-you-are culture, no one in the history of our church has ever come to church dressed provocatively or inappropriately. When people ask us, well, what should I wear if I come to your church? We usually say, you know, you're an adult. We expect you to know how to dress in public, so just come comfortable. usually they do. We often say, you know, you can come to this church even if you're wearing a Raiders jersey. Because if you're wearing a Raiders jersey, we know you need Jesus. And everybody laughs and kids and knows that I'm joking, because I do have some Raider fans in my church and our leadership, actually. But what are your values as a church? Brand, values, language. What are the things you say in your church? How do you talk? It's kind of a joke, but it's a little bit sad in some ways that in church culture across America, We've kind of adopted this insider language that we don't even think, we don't even really think about, we're not even really aware of, and when we do become aware of it, we give it a label and we call it Christianese or Churchese, this other kind of foreign language that outside of church and Christian relationships really doesn't make any sense. And in case you're doubting me, in case you don't think that thing is real, try this. Try talking to one of your friends or neighbors or coworkers who isn't in Christ, who doesn't have a history of growing up in church, and try to see if they can tell you what a love offering is. And they'll probably look at you kind of weird, but see, if you grew up in church, you know what a love offering is, you know what that means, and you know, and you've probably been a part of it before, but it, you know, outside of church, that's kind of weird. You know, we say praise the Lord and various other phrases and slangs and lingos, you know, we have an insider language, and we don't even realize it sometimes, but oftentimes, language is a major part of what shapes your culture as a church. What are the things that you're saying? What are the things that are a part of what it means to be a part of your church? In our church, we say we speak life. We speak life. And so we try to season everything we do with a portion of grace. It says of Jesus in John chapter 1 that he was full of grace and truth. I've met a lot of people who are full of grace and they can't look you in the eye and tell you the truth. I've met a lot of people in church who are full of truth, but no grace, and they'll tell it like it is, and they're going to zap you between the eyes, but they don't have any love, and they don't have any grace in their approach. And then I've met a lot of other people in church who are full of something else entirely, but that may not be appropriate for this podcast. So which are you? And I think that like Jesus, we need to strive to be full of grace and full of truth. Not half and half of both, but full, 100% of both grace and truth. So we say we speak life. We'd rather be known by what we're for rather than what we're against. So yeah, we can preach on sin. We can talk about really tough personal issues. We can get up in your business, but we can do so in a way that's full of love and grace and hope and power and the love of Jesus Christ and calling people into their potential, not rubbing their nose in their past. That's a part of our values as a church, part of our language as a church. What is the language of your church? What is the things that you say that are a part of who your church is and defines your church culture? And are those the things that you want to be a part of your church culture? And last of all, number four, what do you celebrate? First of all, is brand. What do people think about when they think about you? Values. What are the things that you love, whether you have it written down or not? Language. How do you talk to one another inside the church and outside the church? And last of all, what do you celebrate? What gets celebrated gets repeated. What gets celebrated gets repeated. And so for us, the thing that tops that list on what we celebrate is baptisms. We love baptisms. We try as best as we know how to make a big deal about baptisms. For us at Life City Church, we don't look at baptism as this stoic, ceremonial, religious exercise. We look at baptism as a celebration of life. So if you come to Life City Church and it's a baptism Sunday and we got people getting baptized, we clap, we cheer, we hoot, holler, whistle, we do all of that. We get into it because we love celebrating someone who just made a decision to put their trust in Christ and go public with that relationship through baptism. So we celebrate baptism. We take pictures of people get baptized. As I was mentioned earlier, we tell that story over and over again. We use that as we celebrate where we've been and where we're going. I think one of the greatest flaws in the church, in church leadership, is that we don't often pause enough to celebrate what God is doing. And I think that one of the greatest ways to miss out on the favor of God is to not take the time to celebrate what he has already done. And I don't know about you, but I want God to continue to bless my ministry. I want his hand of favor to rest on my ministry and my church and my life. And so I want to consistently come back to God and say, God, I saw what you did there, and I'm so grateful. And it is just such a moment for us to celebrate, to see that you are working in our church, that you are changing lives, that just like you promised, you are building your church. And we don't ever, ever, ever want to take that for granted or get tired of seeing it happen. We celebrate life in Christ. Those are the things that I wanted to share with you today, that four things that create a healthy church culture: brand, values, language, and celebration. How about it? Did I miss anything? Anything that you think is a part of creating an important, healthy church culture? Why don't you share it with me? You can go to my blog, johnmarkham.com. On the top right-hand side, there's a link called Feedback. Also, you can just get to it from johnmarkham.org/feedback. And from there, you can leave me a question or ask for me to speak on a topic. I may address it on the blog or here on the Leadership Podcast, depending on the nature of the question or topic. And I'd be happy to interact with you on it and provide more resources that are important to the things that you're wanting to know about. Also, you can connect with me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at John Markham, JOHNMARKUM. So I hope to connect with you there. In the meantime, God bless. In the next few weeks, we will be having some guests appear here on the podcast, and we look forward to sharing some insights from them as well. And also just want to say, if you're looking for some inspiration or looking for some sound teaching in God's Word, we also have the Life City Sermon Podcast, which you can find at our website or on iTunes or in Google Play. There you can connect and find out more about our messages and our teachings. And right now we're on a series getting ready for our relocation to the Santa Clara High School in just a few weeks. So thanks for tuning into the Leadership Podcast, and I look forward to being a blessing to you at another time. Take care, and God bless.